Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, December 3rd, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. So happy to be here with all of you. Hope you all had enjoyed a fabulous Thanksgiving. I know I did. And our show today, life happens. And so kind of life happens here at How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. My guest today is Artistic Director of the Paul G. Gleason Theater in Hollywood, Paul G. Gleason. But we seem to have had some communication glitches, and unfortunately, Paul will not be able to be on our show today, and I'm very, very saddened by that, and hopefully we'll be able to get him back on the air with us. But I do want to tell you just a little bit about him, because he is a Hollywood sought-off acting coach, and is, as I said, the artistic director of the Paul G. Gleason Theater, and he has come out with a new book called Acting for Love and Money, which makes its debut March 15th, 2010. And I would encourage all of you who are lovers of the theater, who want to get involved in acting, to purchase this book. And you can go online to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com to pre-order the book Acting for Love and Money before its release date. And I don't know if you will recall that a few weeks ago I had Ben Hill, who is the executive director of the Hollywood Fringe Festival, which is coming to Hollywood this June 2010. And the Paul Gleason Theater happens to be a venue for the Fringe Festival. So any of you thespians out there, I know you're out there. I can feel your toes tapping. I can feel that artistic flow. You'll please need to speak to Paul Gleason. And I'm going to give you a contact number for Paul, since he is unavailable, unfortunately, to be with us today. But I do want him to take advantage of all my listeners out there who are eager to move forward with their artistic dreams. So to reach Paul, you can call Paul at 323-620-5789. Again, that number to call Paul G. Gleason, the famous Hollywood actor and artistic director of the Paul G. Gleason Theater in Hollywood, is 323-620-5789. So my thoughts are out to Paul G. Gleason, and I'm sorry he is not with us today, but we will forge forward, move ahead. It's about how to be comfortable in your own shoes, and the shoes right now are kind of a little uncomfortable, because we're going to Plan B, and it's always good to have a Plan B, and I've got a Plan B here for you today. But before I move forward, I just want to give a heads up to my guest next week, who will be Dr. Fran Wallfisch. She's a child and adult psychotherapist. So we're going to have another fascinating show with Dr. Fran Wallfisch, talking about children and adults and the issues that come up in parenting, etc. So keep a pen and pad next to you during the week to jot down any notes or thoughts or questions you might have for Dr. Wallfisch, and hopefully we'll be able to address those. And speaking of calling in, I wanted to mention that if you'd like to talk to me, I'm the guest today. How fabulous to be live with Lauren Leibowitz today. I am here till 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time, and you can call me by dialing 347-857-2710. So I hope any of you who have a question will feel free to give me a jingle. I'm here till 3:30. And I thought we would talk today about how to promote oneself, because things are really challenging in this economic time, and as a business dynamo, my friends and colleagues call me the business dynamo, because I am referred to as the business dynamo. I do a little bit of marketing and PR with small businesses, and I use my PR and marketing skills to help businesses look at their problems in a different perspective, a kind of an out-of-the-box, if you will. That's kind of such an over used an overrated slogan or saying, but that's my approach to helping people in business. I do what most people don't like to do, and that is to generate business for them. So I thought we would talk about how we can help promote ourselves. I know these are challenging times, and like I said, and it's these times when we need to look within and find creative ways. But you know what? Miracles happen. When you just say, let it be, miracles happen. I'm looking on my switchboard, and what do you know? I think we do have Paul G. Gleason on the line. Let me click in and see if that is Paul, and we'll give a listen. Or maybe it's just people wanting to talk. Hold on. We'll see who's here. Hello. You're on the air with Lauren Leibowitz.
Yeah, this Paul.
Paul G. Gleason.
I called the other number a couple of times, but let me jump ahead and tell you that I heard that Fran Walfish is going to be on next week, and she's a student of mine.
Well, there you go. I mean, how many 6 degrees of separation could there be?
Well, I guess I was supposed to hear. I may not have heard that if we hadn't have had. I called the number, and twice they said, thank you for calling and hung up. So I figured they weren't being as friendly as you are all the time.
Well, it gives you a prompt how to hook into Lauren Leibowitz and my fabulous show. But
that's right.
No worries. You're here, and I just got a lovely few minutes with our listeners, so it was beautiful. So welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. By the way, I heard that whole thing. I was waiting.
you heard the whole thing? I thought, you know what? Unfortunately, somehow, technology these days didn't work out. I tell the listeners that we had Paul G. Gleason on the show, and hopefully he'll come back. And they already know about your book and about the Fringe Festival, so let's go a little deeper and start about, I know you came to Hollywood when you were 17 from Portland, Oregon, and you were given a contract with MGM at 19. How did all that happen?
Well, I arrived in town naively because I figured they didn't speak the language or have the profession that I wanted in Portland, Oregon at 17, so I just packed a bag and came down here. I got a scholarship 4 weeks later at the American School of Dance, which was one of the most famous schools in the world at that time, and had all sorts of stars, Sid Sharif, Mitzi Gaynor, and George Shakiris, and so on, were all studying there. And from them, I found who to study acting and singing with, and was in class with all of the people I've just mentioned. And then a year later, or a year and a half later, they were doing a movie at MGM, and they all knew about it and recommended me. In those days, there were Onion and Amateur. There was no such thing as there was Union and Amateur. There was no such thing as a non-union situation, which you can have now. And so what they had to do for Screen Actors Guild was, if someone wanted to help you get in, they had to have a job with a studio, and then when casting came up, they would say, or they actually would see everyone in town who requested to be seen, and then after they'd seen everyone, then they could tell the studio that they still hadn't found what they wanted, and then they would wait a little while, and then they would put your name up and say, we think this person may be able to do it. And the studio said, listen, we want the most talented we can have. So then you were brought in and you were given the job. And then the union called you and said, get your rear end down here as quickly as possible and join the union. And that's how you got in.
That you always wanted to pursue the arts?
Well, yes. You know, I when I was a little kid, we didn't have television. And so we went to movies. I don't know why it is. recently I taught in Denison, Ohio, where Donna Reed came from, and I wonder why there are those of us who are, in that time, Portland, Oregon was a small town, who are from small towns and listen to radio or go to stage shows or go to movies and decide that's what we want to do, even though no one we know does it, and the training doesn't exist where we are. We just, out of nowhere, certainly with no one in my family had anything to do with arts, So I just packed a bag after high school and came down here and was in the right place at the right time with wonderful, legitimate people. It's a hazard to go to a big city like Los Angeles or New York or Chicago and pursue a career if you don't know anyone. And some few people like me are lucky, and most are not lucky.
Well, I think that the dream still exists for young people across the country, that they want to pursue some form of the arts, whether it's acting, music, and they do come and say, I'm going to do it. That Hollywood lore still exists, so people want to try to experience it. It's a little more challenging these days because, look, the studios aren't around to help hone someone's skills, so you have to come in to this town ready to rock and roll, and most people aren't. They need to study, and it's where do you go? You spend all this money for pictures, classes, and you really have to love it. It has to be a passion of yours to kind of sacrifice yourself and spend that kind of money to follow your dream.
That's the hazard. It's true. You can actually do movies from anywhere in the world now. When I was 17 in 1954, Hollywood, a few other places in the world actually had movie studios. Now, with modern technology and the size of cameras and the availability of being able to shoot, you can do it just about anywhere. People do famous films. There was a film a few years ago done by a young Mexican boy for $4,000. It was a whole budget. Did a full feature film. It was later transferred onto higher quality film or digital and was played in major studios. So that can be done. In my youth, that couldn't be done. It was all 16 millimeter film. Sorry, it was 35 millimeter film, which was very expensive. The cameras were very expensive. The developing and editing, very expensive. You had to edit by cutting the film and gluing pieces together instead of just going on a computer and doing it now.
Well,
and the hazard is, pardon?
I was going to say, with technology now, with MySpace, which is probably predominantly for musicians, but or YouTube, people can create their own short film, put an idea across, and a lot of the studios or production companies look to these resources as a resource to find new talent.
Well, schools and casting directors, I think I've just found out recently something that many people have known for quite a while. Casting directors in major studios and in theaters throughout the United States and the world actually ask you to send in, to do your own YouTube audition and send it to them. So they would prefer that see you on a YouTube clip before you either have the expense of moving to that city, or even if you live in that city, going across town and meeting them. They'd rather see you there and not waste time in their office.
Right, right. So if I know you teach the Alexander technique, and I'd like to find out your views about the Alexander technique versus other acting methods. What would your advice be?
Well, actually, I think I confuse people as much as I enlighten them. Most people teach acting or singing or dancing or physical techniques that apply to acting, such as Feldenkrais or Alexander. A great deal of my training was at the American School of Dance, founded by Eugene Loring, who believed that singers and actors and dancers should study all three forms, including choreography and history of theater and history of dance, and be able to do different ethnic types of the arts and so on. Because when I was a kid, the studios were all in Hollywood, and you went from one studio to another studio rather quickly, or from one television studio to another, and you had to work for many different people in many different genres. You had to be able to dance ballet, jazz, you had to be able to sing, you had to be able to sight read music as well as scripts. So if you weren't versatile, actually we were what were called studio singers, studio dancers, studio actors. It meant that we could go from one style to another and do it with very little preparation, often no rehearsal at all. Radio was done. You would walk in, they would hand you the script, and you would be on the air reading it at sight.
Wow. So can you tell us what is some of the techniques of the Alexander technique, the characteristics versus that?
The Alexander technique was developed completely by F. Matthias Alexander, who was a public speaker and a monologuist in England and in Australia. And he developed some vocal problems, and he went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and they couldn't help him. So he was a rare genius. Geniuses are rare. And he set up a series of mirrors around him to watch what he did when he spoke. And he realized that he actually, his body was out of alignment, and he was using his body in the wrong way. And that was harming him, which happens with many people. And so he developed a technique of balancing the body. That was at the turn of the century. It became worldwide just for general health, and then every major acting school, Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, Juilliard, CalArts, etc., UCLA now, every major acting school teaches Alexander technique as a basis of preparing the body to feel emotions, to speak properly, just to have a facility of the body that people other than actors don't usually need.
So what would be an exercise, an Alexander exercise?
Actually, you have to work there are Alexander classes, but Alexander would not have said that was possible. Alexander, you have to work with an Alexander technician who's been trained rigorously for 3 to 5 years, and they work with you fully clothed on your back on the table and help to explain how your joints work and the lengthening of your back, what kind of commands you should be giving to you. They work with you standing and sitting from a chair because people, you know, your body can wear out just like a piece of metal. If you bend it back and forth long enough, it'll break. And if you bend the body, the joints and so on, if you use them improperly long enough, you'll have knee trouble and vocal trouble. And if you have physical problems like that, then it just follows here that you're going to have trouble expressing emotions because you're in such physical disrepair or uncomfortable or actual pain that you can't create different characters. So it's a way of balancing the body, and it does it so simply and so directly that that's why it's so popular.
I think that the magic already happens once you, it's like a tool, you know, your body is your temple, your tool. So once you have everything in proper position, then the end result of acting, singing, or whatever you're using for it, it flows naturally because everything else is working properly.
Or as an actor would say, you can be authentic.
Yeah. So tell me some more about what other little goodies can we glean from your upcoming book, Acting for...
Well, I'll tell you, to be quite honest, when you write a book...
Don't be honest now.
When you write a book, you have to have, if anyone's going to see it, although you can self-publish, it's much better to have a publisher. And if you go to a publisher, then they're going to make very strong suggestions, like do what we say or we won't publish your book, sort of like that. And the original title of the book was The Infinite Possibilities of a Moment, which I think is what acting is all about. And the publisher said, well, that's fine, Paul, but not many people are going to buy it for that reason. And so the name of it now is a much more commercial name and probably more to the point, Acting for Love or Money. And I guess you do that. You either act because you love it so much, or you act to earn a living, and hopefully you can do both of them at the same time. It comes out in March, and it really addresses what an actor needs, not esoterically, not just what the audience sees, but how to prepare, what studios do and what they don't do, what casting directors actually want. I have a fun example that you saw when I lectured for Women in Film, and you attended that lecture, and I love to say the situation is the actor goes to a casting director, and the casting director says, I want you to do this, and this, and this, and this. And the first thing the actor says is, no, I want to try this. So then I tell that story, and I say, now, what was the first word the actor said? And most always they say the first word was I. And I say, no, if you look back at it, they said, no, I. So the first word they said to the casting director, who had just given them a set of instructions, was no. And then they wonder why they don't get the job.
Right.
So it explains little tiny things like, I taught a workshop at the Los Angeles Music Center for 20 years. We auditioned 600 people, took 11 men and 11 women for a 12-week course, and all of these people had worked professionally on Broadway or film and in television, and it was to enhance their career, to tell them the reason you're perfectly capable of doing that film, the reason you're not getting it is that you don't realize that you're saying no to a casting director. And even though the casting director often doesn't realize that you said no, they hear it, whether they realize it or not, and they are more inclined to take the person who says, yes, I will do what you've asked me to do.
So what you started was the American Center for Music Theater, and now that's part of the Paul G. Gleason Theater, correct?
That's correct. At the Music Center, Los Angeles Civic Light Opera, which was the largest producer of national companies, that means when a Broadway show opens and it's a hit, it then forms a company that tours the United States, sometimes the world. And unknown to many, most of those national companies were produced and choreographed and directed in Los Angeles before they went on tour. And as part of that company, we formed a musical theater workshop to mentor people that were already working. And that workshop became the American Center for Music Theater, which it is now. And we teach classes not at the Music Center anymore, but on Hollywood Boulevard. John Raitt, Bonnie Raitt's father and the great American musical theater box office idol during the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s, was the president of the American Center for Music Theater. I was the founder, artistic director, and directed his shows also. He was the president until his death 6 years ago. And a few years after that, the board of directors came to me and said that they thought it was my turn to have a theater named after me. So they renamed it the Paul Gleason Theater.
You finally get your star turn. How nice is that? Right on the boulevard.
Right on Hollywood Boulevard, right. where we have stars on the sidewalk in front of us.
Absolutely. And now the New York home of the Stella Adler Theater is making its L.A. home, your theater, for classes as well. How can our listeners get involved with that?
Well, we are a mentor organization, so we like to give the best possible training and or present the best possible training and put people as close as they can get to professional theater, film, and television. The Stella Adler Studio of Acting in New York is not the largest school of acting in New York. However, it appears that it is the most prestigious school in New York. For instance, New York University uses them for the students who attend Tisch School of the Arts in the acting session. They provide the acting training. And they also provide acting training for various companies throughout the world. And now we've gone into partnerships, so they are bringing training right on Hollywood Boulevard, some of the best training in the world, right at our theater. And we're also now going to produce shows with actors going through that training so they can come and take the training and actually start working all at the same place.
Wow, isn't that great? So we're kind of going full circle a little bit, in a sense.
That's it.
To a place where we can get the training and giving someone an opportunity to work at their craft, not necessarily a paying gig, so to speak, but at least you get to use your skills And
well, this is how theater originally, you know, in the tens of thousands of years that they're acting, schools are recent. Teaching acting is relatively recent. Before that, in Greek theater and in Egyptian theater and medieval theater, you simply joined a company of actors and you apprenticed. They put you on stage as an extra or part of the set, and then eventually they gave you words and you learned from being in the company. And many places have gone back to that now. Schools like Juilliard and Stella Adler and Paul Gleason Theater offer training and also a theater, so that right from the beginning of your training, you can step up in front of an audience or in front of a camera and be guided in your training. This way, your training becomes very practical. You're not just doing something theoretical, but you're training something in the afternoon that you're going to have to do that evening on stage.
I think I actually agree with this kind of process, because then you get to follow through with your studies and you get an experience of actually performing, and only through that experience can you discover whether that's something you want to pursue, or maybe there's another aspect of the theater, the film, or whatever medium you choose. So it's nice that people like yourself are mentoring the next generation and giving back to these young people who want to perform theater. Sometimes I feel that the theater, live theater, is a dying art in a certain way. I think Hollywood is probably better known for its film as opposed to its theater, production of theaters. But it's a small, tiny little secret that Hollywood has so many wonderful theaters, like the Paul G. Gleason Theater, where we can see...
Well, it's great fun, because to understand, if you're other places, even if you live in Hollywood, let alone all throughout the rest of the world, Hollywood actually has more small theaters than New York City does.
Oh,
Los Angeles does.
Really? That I didn't know. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's not so difficult to understand, because Los Angeles is one of the largest, if not the largest, city in the area in the world. Other cities, you know the number of theaters because they're all in one area, like in the theater districts in New York. So you walk a block over here, a block over there, and you see theater after theater after theater. In Los Angeles, you have to drive 10 miles this way and 5 miles this way and 2 miles this way to the hundred. There are actually hundreds of little theaters. At the moment, there are 79 theaters that are union theaters that have contract with the stage union for actors is Actors Equity Association, and they have listed 79 theaters in Los Angeles that use professional actors on their stages. 79.
That's
a lot of theaters.
But like I said earlier at the beginning of the broadcast, that this June, you are participating, the Paul G. Gleason Theater is participating as a venue in the Hollywood Fringe Festival. So this will give people who are interested in the theater, performers, an opportunity to experience many of the 79 theaters at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And our listeners can go on to www.hollywoodfringe.org to find out more information about the festival and the participation of the Paul G. Gleason Theater. And Paul, I already gave out your phone number to people to contact you, but is there an email address you'd like our listeners
Sure. You can do P. Gleason, like Paul Gleason, G-L-E-A-S-O-N, at acmt.org, AmericanCenterMusicTheater.org. The website is acmt.org. That will show the shows and the performers. Live Nation had Russell Brand there, all of the wonderful activities there. And if you want to email me personally for any kind of information, it's pgleason@acmt.org, or the phone number, 323-620-5789.
Well, Paul,
and by the way,
thank you. We're really out of time.
Okay. Listen, go on Amazon.com.
I will share your book. I want to tell our viewers you can get Paul's book Acting for the Love or Money at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
There you go.
And I want to thank Paul for being a guest on my show today. It was just wonderful. So please join me next time when my guest will be Dr. Fran Wallfisch, child and adult psychotherapist. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you for joining me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.